WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
sick. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Let's go. Sounds good. Real good. Yup.
In the race, we lapped them. Yeah. Let our feelings go, we didn't trap them. Yeah. I was gone at first, but now I'm back again. Yeah. You like action? We had a lot of baggage, we packed them. Yeah. We went all the way, so you want to stay. No one's perfect.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the other way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. It is our night one SummerSlam review because in case you didn't notice, it's Saturday. Not Thursday. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me as always is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman Sir Rockin.
We're here, we're live. This is not your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. It is just an excuse to be home on a Saturday night. This is The Rack. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linz Ward, at Kane Kids. Come to wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/Liberty Live, rackradioshow.com to interact with us live tonight as we talk about the biggest party in the summer. Night one.
That's right, and we're not alone, chat. We have a guest joining us from, well, CB Radio and Wrestle Talk Radio is the one, the only, the Kane Kittens, the Brent.
Wait, I thought I was here to talk Fortnite for the happy hours.
You are. You have to give us your sprite updates.
Okay, just left with a couple of hollows, so that was successful in terms of that, but it's not the ones I really need. So, I will be talking wrestling and multitasking by sprite hunting, because they have the happy hours going for another hour and a half, and then the Peely hour right after that, so...
Okay, so everybody, Brent needs help with his sprites. We have to do a collective, hey buddy, so that way the mystical magical sprites that he needs appears. So missing group two, hey buddy,
two llamas. So yeah, I'm gonna hey, if I find them, you will hear a hey buddy here on the show.
Yes. Also hi,
we need the help.
Not just me, it's a team effort.
This is a team effort, we need help. Trying to think, do we have something? We had a bus command before. It's where he's looking. Did we have a llama command before? Yeah.
Yeah, we did. I think
it's this. There, it still works.
Okay. I was gonna say back when we used to do the old school llama hunts.
Exclamation point llama. Work. Anyway, Brent's gonna search for things. We're gonna talk wrestling. This was a fun 3-hour show.
It was a fun 3-hour show. Yeah, it moved. I think it moved a little bit quicker than I expected it to.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Lindsay wanted another half hour of wrestling.
I just felt like the Hell in the Cell. You know what? Let's just talk about it because it just ended. I felt like the Hell in the Cell might go a little bit longer, right? Because it's Hell in a Cell. And you would think with all the bad blood and everything that's built up between Oba and Brock that they would perhaps go, I don't know, 5-10 minutes longer than they actually did. It's just because they had aids, right? Like they had chairs or they had weapons.
They had so weapons. Like, they did. They had the Wingstop chair.
Yeah, chair shots are now brought to you by Wingstop. Table spots are the Slim Jim's table.
Yep.
Anything to make a buck?
I was going to say, WWE, get your bag. If they're going to, if people are willing to buy space on weapons, do it. Now,
yeah,
what would the kendo stick be sponsored by?
Slim Jim. No, that's the table. But you could make it look like a Slim Jim color packaging.
You really could. They missed the opportunity on that and to incorporate more kendo sticks into matches.
Because I feel like for the kendo stick, go ahead.
I feel like for the kendo stick, it should be the video game sponsorship, and you make it look like a video game weapon. Like, you could do a lightsaber, you could do a sword, you could do a key for Kingdom Hearts. There's a lot of things you could do for them, because it's essentially a stick. Like, you could do a Fortnite pickaxe, if they get the Fortnite sponsorship back. Like, there's a lot of stuff they actually could do with it. They can make it themed.
By the way, if you need to pick up either the Steve Austin or Liv Morgan skins currently in the item shop, don't forget to use code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Or Liv Morgan.
Hashtag every partner. Felt like it was an ODQ in a cage, but I didn't feel like Helen said like Punk and Drew did. Well, Punk and Drew went
was
old
more
school.
Bad blood.
That they meant to. They went back to do it that way. They went way back machine to tell the drama. It was a no DQ match in a cage. But that's what Hell in a Cell should be. You have a guy like Brock. What's he going to do? He's not going to bleed at this stage in the game. So you take that out of the play. He's not a guy who's going to do thumbtacks. He's not going to do multiple table spots. He did the one.
He's not going to use a needle.
Or a drill. Or
a fork.
Fork or anything like that. So you weren't gonna get that type of violence, and the two guys in the match are physically dominating men, so they weren't going to. I don't know.
I think the only thing, if you were gonna get one other kind of spot, we talked about it in the lead up to this, the only thing I would have expected is them to break through the cage. That would have been the only thing that I would have been like, you know, if they did that, holy shit, that's a Hell in a Cell moment. That's all of that. Did it need it? Not necessarily. I think they did enough in the cage to where it's not needed or facilitated, but if they did do something, that's what I would have seen, in my opinion.
But living up to its name, it was a spectacle.
Oh yeah, they beat the ever-living piss out of each other.
And they did something that WWE doesn't do. They tore up the ring.
Well, the Nexus did.
But it's not the norm.
True.
It's rare that when it happens. It happens maybe once every few years someone pulls apart the canvas.
And it's trying to show the... That's where you were trying to get some of the viciousness with them, was the fact of like, yeah, we're removing padding. We're going to put it directly onto the wood planks where there's no give, was the story they were telling with that. As opposed to, we're going to blast each other in the head with a toolbox.
The man's... Do you think this was the quickest Hell in a Cell match of all time? Because this match went 12 minutes. And it was not the tamest Hell in a Cell match of all time. Let's go back to 2021. Inside the Thunderdome. Bobby Lashley and Xavier Woods went under 5 minutes in Hell in a Cell.
I was going to say, that was Monday Night Raw, wasn't it?
On a Monday Night Raw.
There's been one or two Hell in a Cells on Monday Night Raw that didn't live up to Hell in a Cell.
That was Hell in a Cell. That was the weak one. That was, you know, the tamest of them all.
At least, I will say this, at least this Hell in a Cell felt deserved to be put in there.
Yeah.
But you can't...
Like Xavier Woods versus Bobby Lashley, it was... That's a gimmick. That's just, you know, there's no real reason why they were being put in there. It was just a matter of, to further that storyline, we're going to do it so that Woods gets the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
We're going to do it because it's the COVID era and we have to entertain the people somehow.
Yeah. But you can't discount it because it happened. So, like, things that happened.
And... That's like saying we can discount the Daniel Bryan... 18-second loss of the world title at WrestleMania because, oh, that really wasn't a match. No, the bell rang. It was a match. It happened.
That's the thing. So, like, was this the best Hell in a Cell match of all time? Hell no. Was it the worst? Hell no. It was still entertaining. You can't say you weren't entertained by the match. You can't say it didn't live up to an Oba Femi Brock match. This was better than most things Brock does on a normal basis.
Well, and also I think You got what you wanted to out of that match in terms of you have the clips that are going to be played moving forward. You have the Brock sit up. You have, you know, Oba surviving the 3 F5s. You have the tombstone on the boards.
Which was fantastic.
Which was amazing. All three of those moments were great. Yeah. They sold it so well. And they fit within the story of, like, as Brock said at the very end, this is the past, that's referring the future.
Referring to himself as the past.
Right, he's referring to himself as the past, and so what's he doing? He's doing the callbacks. He's, you know, Taker put me over using these spots. I'm putting Oba over using these spots.
It's the actual passing of the torch as opposed to what we saw at WrestleMania, which was the hypothetical passing of the torch.
I still think Mania was the better overall moment, but it's like this cemented in your mind and Brock taking the microphone, which we hardly see, to basically say, yep, this is happening. He is the new beast. Deal with it.
Like, wow, this is basically, if this is the end, this is the end. I'm gone. Just you. He's, this is his ring now. This is his yard. Let him rule.
Let's see. I don't know.
You have to deal with this now.
That was a nice moment. Like, that was like Brock putting Oba over essentially twice was really, really nice. And the hug was nice. Like, they did everything right in terms of cementing Oba as the new sort of, like, guy to look out for, the up and coming guy that is going to potentially take the company by storm and the world by storm. Like, that's really what they did tonight, and they did a wonderful job. I just think, I don't know, like, I guess my expectations were a little too high, but I did expect a little bit more from this, especially since this was the closing match in the main event, and to LeMans's point, it did supplement the title match. And I just don't know if this fully lived up to that in terms of, like, everything that they've already done. Like, to me, I question if the additional two matches were worth it or if Mania was enough. And I'm kind of very wishy-washy on that because you had the moment, you had everything perfect after WrestleMania. You didn't need to do anything else with that moment with Brock Lesnar between Oba and Brock, and it was absolutely perfection. It was fine. And you still could have had Oba go on to win King of the Ring. You could have had him go on to do a bunch of other stuff, right? Like, everything else he's done outside of Brock, he could have still done. But Brock coming back, Brock beating him, and then them doing the recovery with King of the Ring, Oba giving up the title shot to go for Brock, and then they do this match, and the match itself was fine. Like, in any other circumstance on any other show, this would have been a really good mid-card type match. Like, it had its high points. I love the setup spot. I love the callbacks. I thought all of that was really good. But just in terms of what Hell in a Cell is, because there is a bar, I understand it's Brock. I understand he's not going to do certain things. But if that's the case, then you shouldn't be putting him in certain matches. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. Like, if Brock isn't willing to take the bumps or escalate the violence or do what he needs to do to sell the match in addition to the person, then they shouldn't book that type of match. They should book something
that works for Brock. Like, you could have had this been like a no holds barred, false count anywhere, hardcore match, and it would have been equally as effective. The cage was really just an accessory. Like, we were, I think, like, Rock and I were expecting, because we talked about it on Thursday, like, them going through the cage. This, the violence escalating to the point that they burst through the cage and got out of the cage. And that it never reached that point, because it's like there is vitriol between them. This is for pride. That's what this was for. Where it's Oba's trying to solidify himself, get good firm standing again, and Brock is putting all of that in question. Because Brock is like, you beat me. I'm not okay with that. I'm going to come back and I'm going to like try to show that I am still the man. I am still the beast, even though he doesn't really need to, but he's going to do it anyway, because why the fuck not, right? And I think that's really my problem with it. I'm not saying the match was bad. Like, the match was fine. That's the nicest thing I could say about it, though.
You had too high expectations. That's it. That's the problem. You had high expectations.
But so did you. I think a lot of people had high expectations.
I thought they would go through they the built cell.
This,
but that's it.
They built that this was, really, really well.
I still enjoyed it. I thought, I don't think it was bad.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was fine. Like, I'm not saying it was bad at all. What I'm saying is I think there could have been more done if there had been a willingness to do it. And we all know, because there's three of us here, that Brock wasn't going to do that. And so it's like, I think we walked into this with the hope that Brock was going to do stuff, because that was what we were hearing too, was that like Brock was really willing to do a lot for Oba. He's willing to put Oba over. He believes in Brock, right? Or excuse me, Brock believes in Oba, right? Like Brock's full sin on this, whole assing this. And so when you hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, all right, maybe Brock's going to do more than Brock normally does. And to his credit, he kind of did. But ultimately, it's like, in terms of the annals of Hell in a Cell, this falls on the lower end for me, just because it was a little bit tamer. Like, I expected them to be a lot more physical, even without weapons, than really what they were.
I thought it's not the worst Hell in a Cell. It's not the best Hell in a Cell. It will be in the middle of Hell in a Cells, because there was a lot worse than we saw tonight in terms of what a Hell in a Cell was. If you had expectations of massive violence, then you went into thinking wrong. I was thinking they would break the cell because they would have been a cool spot. Them pulling up the ring, I thought that's violence you don't see. They used the steel steps multiple times. They used the table. They're both not weapon guys. Like, I don't know.
They are weapons.
themselves are weapons. Like, I don't know what everyone was thinking.
They're thinking more. That's the problem.
Well, then you haven't watched Brock for the last 10 years.
I have. That's the problem. That's why I say... Let me say this and then you can go ahead. That's why I say this potentially was not the proper match to put these two in if, again, Brock was not going to do the thing. Go ahead, Brent.
So part of this, I think, stems from... And I mean, for comparisons, people will always see what's happening elsewhere and go, well, why don't people do this? And I think in today's environment, WWE does a very certain style of match. And I know that Punk and Drew had Hell in a Cell and they did what they did. But like Rock was pointing out, and I think Lindsay will agree as well, they were going for a different story with that in terms of Drew and Punk absolutely hated each other. And that came across in terms of that match of like what they were willing to do to one another in the confines of Hell in a Cell. And both those guys are going to dig deep into Bag of Tricks in order to do it. I think with Brock and Oba, it was more about your domination and proving you are the physical presence, because Brock in Hell in a Cell is going to treat it like a UFC cage instead. It's just, you're confined in here, I'll put you up against the cage, I can use certain things here, but mostly, I'm just going to obliterate you to the best of my ability. Oba is trying to prove he is the new thing, you know, Brock is the past, he is the future, I am taking over, I am the ruler. And so when they're telling the story of Hell in a Cell, they're just going to, this cage is just something that's trying to keep us in so we can beat each other to high holy hell. And I think they did that with this match. Now, again, is there one or two spots maybe they could have done a little different? Sure. But overall, I think they did good in terms of telling their tale. It wasn't going to be, you know, Swerve Strickland in a cage match, in which he, like Drew and CM Punk, is going to go, I'm going to use everything in my bag of tricks, in my capabilities, to fuck you up. And so I think that's where a lot of people might be disappointed or go, oh, well, you know, this isn't a cage match because cage matches should have blood, it should have this, it should have that. I don't know, you had a guy who spent years in the octagon beating people up, and he basically tried to do that in this match. I think he stayed true to himself.
I think it's just, again, I think there was an expectation it wasn't met, at least for me. And for other people, you guys disagree. But let's talk about the opening match. The Women's World Championship. Liv Morgan defending against Io Sky.
Look at her. She can defend the title. How about that?
I'll be damned.
That was a fun
match. I still hate the intro song. I'm sorry. When she walks out and it's that and that thing plays, everyone who curls their toes and just like feels like nails on a chalkboard of Brie mode, that's my version. And watching her lip sync it while she's coming to the ring just drives it home.
I don't even consider it really singing. Is that bad?
No.
It's singing in 2026. What do you expect?
It's speak singing is what it is. It's like, oh shit, what is it? Caravan? What's the trucker one?
I think Caravan, yeah.
It's not singing, but it's not quite just talking. It's like a mix. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not going to sit here and bash it, but it doesn't do anything for me. But getting to the match between them was good. It was a good opener, very enjoyable. Still do not like that there was interference in this match, even though it didn't play the ultimate like decider in the match. Can I have one fucking Judgment Day match where they don't interfere? Please. Just one. I want just one.
Male or female?
I don't care.
That's, I was going to say, like, I think every match that JD and Dom have had interference as well. It's just, I get that that's the point of the group. That's the idea of a faction is you deal with everybody. But yeah, no, I'm with you where it's just like you talked about on Thursday, there's a moment in the match where they're setting something up and you just go in the back of your head, here comes Roxanne, here comes Raquel, and lo and behold, they came out and you were just like,
It's to the point with it that you can't take them seriously. It's very difficult to take Liv seriously as a champion, even though this match was very definitive and she looked very good in it. Like she and Io did a wonderful job. It's, can you really not defend a title on your own? Are you really incapable of doing it? And it's a question of, are you, and you're just lazy at this stage because you're relying on them, or can you really not do it? What is it?
I think they need to get to the point where we're seeing this in AEW with Kyle Fletcher, where he has come out now and mm-hmm. basically said, like, even though he's part of the Don Callis family, I'm going to prove I can do this on my own. So every match moving forward, everyone's banned from ringside. Like, no one's allowed to come down. And I think it's because, like, when you see a Don Callis family match, you're just like, oh, there's going to be, like, five people around the ring, possibly. Or, you know, someone's going to poke their head in. And I just like the fact that he has gotten so big of a head, and he wants to prove to other members of the family, like, I can do this on my own. I don't need y'all's help. Screw it. You're not even allowed at ringside for this. I'm wondering if someone is going to try to push Liv's buttons to get her to that point where they'll bring up the fact of like, oh yeah, no, you've got Raquel, you've got Roxanne. We know that they're coming to the ring. You can't win without them. So what's the point? Like, you're not a good champion. And I want someone to say that because Liv's the kind of person that when she hears that, and we saw a little bit of this with Stephanie when she poked her, like, Liv doesn't take that kind of criticism well. And I want her to be like, Oh yeah. Well, screw it. I don't need them here. And then watch the two people in Judgment Day kind of turn to her and be like, "Are you sure?" Yeah, you do. Like, and I think part of that could be some of that undoing where Liv gets a big head, and someone will bring that up, and then, you know, Roxanne, who's been sitting there and biding her time, might just go like, "Okay, you say you don't need us. Cool. I'll take the night off. Prove it. I'll sit in the back." Right. Fun. And then if Liv loses that match, it gives that little bit of credence to like, look, you did need us. And maybe when the time comes, I can take my chance.
Yeah. Question it, like, what's going on with Stephanie?
She's training to return.
Okay.
She was down at the performance center the last few weeks.
Okay. Because she's been out for like a hot minute, so.
Yeah, there was a photo that came out like a couple weeks ago that she was down at the PC, so I believe she's working there and rehabbing.
But what did you think about the match, Rock?
I thought it was very enjoyable. I thought it was exciting. It was a good way to open the show. I thought the counter, like, there was a spot where she was, Io pulled off the Oblivion. I thought that was good. I liked the finish too.
Yeah, the finish was good.
I thought that the two moves to finish it was really good. I guess the curse was no longer existed since she won.
I guess she overcame it.
Or was removed. I think that's what they're gonna go with.
I was gonna say maybe the curse only lasted Queen of the Ring.
I mean, he cursed her a week ago, but maybe that wasn't an official curse. I don't know. Yeah, it was a good opener.
It was indeed a good opener. Moving on, we had what I feel was potentially one of the matches of the night because it was really freaking fun. LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keyes taking on the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. This had the video game sponsorship.
That was awkward.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
And because they're like, okay, we're here for the 6-person tag. And they do the video package beforehand, which for a second I'm going, okay, they're putting out an emergency distress call, and then it goes to the stage, and I was just like, I guess this is for the video game, but I'm just not a Gears of War person, so I was kind of lost on me for that. And then you had the Usos and Jacob come out. Jacob got himself a good old entrance.
Yeah, I did.
That fire! Holy shit!
I like the stage, by the way. It was massive.
Yeah, the stage was really good. I felt a little bad for it because it was like, it was so large that they could only get it in the wide shots. And so when you did the mid, like the tight shots on people, it just showed like the center part. And it's like, it doesn't show how big that thing actually is.
They said it was bigger than a football field.
I would believe it. Like, I feel like they got every video screen they had and put it on that stage. Because was it me or did it look like it was shaped like the WWE title?
I can see that.
Like, I was trying to figure out the shape and I couldn't figure out the shape.
Was it a Viking helmet?
The Viking helmet was in the center. When they did shots like in between matches, you could see the helmet and then the curls and the people were off to the side of it.
Yeah.
But when they didn't have a graphic up, I could see where you would be like, it's like the title. Because there is the giant centerpiece. I will say, and I never thought I would say this, Face Solo Sikoa is growing on me.
Him being an irredeemable little shit during this match was fabulous.
He is the ultimate little brother in this match.
He totally is.
He is doing everything he can to be a thorn in the sides of his big brothers, and you know they just want to beat the shit out of him for it.
Right.
But he's totally fine. He's living his best dream.
He's
having fun with it.
That's all that matters. My he's having fun.
He breaks out the run it back, and you just see Jey like, you did not fucking do this.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was great.
He lost his shit. And Solo is just smiling the whole time, living it up. But they did a good job. I was surprised to see the faces win here.
That was a surprise.
But I think it also did a good job at kind of putting shine on the three guys that would need it. Because if the Bloodline loses here, it could further things of like, okay, yeah, like they said, Roman wants Solo in the fold. And if they don't come back with him in the fold, which they're not going to with this, what is the repercussion? Do we get old Roman back where he's going to be an authoritative dick to all of them? Or is it just more like, I'm doing this for the family. I want us all together. Maybe he just needs to go on his own and learn that he can't. Or let him strike out on his own. Let's see what happens.
I feel like the way that they're doing this with Roman is they're, I feel like he's going to kind of be a dick to the Usos, but less so to Jacob, because Jacob is very clearly everybody's favorite. So, like, I think he's been much more guiding towards Jacob, because I think he sees a potential replacement in Jacob. And that could be that he's keeping Jacob close just to, you know, make sure Jacob doesn't try anything, because you keep your enemies closer than your friends. Or he really sees the potential for like Jacob to be that successor, and he wants Jacob to be that successor because Jay flamed out. Jimmy will never be the successor. Poor Solo Jay. Was at one point. I'm sorry?
I said poor Jimmy.
I know, poor Jimmy.
We like it's no fault of his own, but it's like he has some charisma, but like Jay just actually has charisma and he can do more, and I feel like Jimmy is just like, yeah, he's the tag team guy.
I feel like, though, Jay got just really lucky because he was the one that took all the suffering. And so because of that, like, people got behind him. And that's what happened. Like, if they did the same thing to Jimmy, I wonder if the same, if, like, the reaction would be the same or if it would be completely different. Because I think it's the way Jay sold it, too. Like, ultimately, that's just what got Jay over, was just him rallying against Roman.
And it was also, he was the one that was more healthy throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, that too. But I feel like Roman's reaction is going to be like more forgiving potentially towards Jacob, although he's going to potentially look at Jacob and be like, you got to make it up to me. You got to fix it. I want him in the fold. Get him in the fold. And then he's going to be slightly less forgiving towards Jimmy and Jay because they know better, right? So it's like, you two are supposed to be guiding Jacob and you're not guiding him the way that you're supposed to be. And that could be the angle that they're going to take, is that Jay and Jimmy are supposed to be the ones helping and they're not really helping, and it's just all kind of going to hell. I don't know. Just because I feel like if Roman tries to challenge Jacob physically, he's going to have a fight on his hands. Like, Jacob's not going to let Roman take him to the ring and beat him, right? Well, like Jay did.
And I wonder if that's where the story difference comes in, is when it comes to Jay, Roman doesn't necessarily view them as much of a threat because he's handled them before. He knows I can put them under my thumb, but I wonder if it's also the fact of Jacob is sitting out there. Roman knows, like, it took a lot more to beat Solo Jacob than it did the Usos. And I wonder if he also looks at, like, my tactics didn't work with Jay because when I tried to put a thumb down on them, they left.
Right.
It took everything I had to bring them back. I can't do that with them again, or with Jacob, because the second I try to, he'll just be like, nah, bro, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I'm all alone. Fuck. So I think he'll be more forgiving with Jacob in that respect as well. But it's also a matter of what happens tomorrow night and moving out of that. You know, is Roman the champion? Because that'll also affect things. And do we need to, you know, who will his next challenger be in terms of, like, do I need the boys around me?
I wonder, do the boys try to, like, help Roman?
Tomorrow? No, I wouldn't. That would defeat the purpose of Roman trying to beat Seth. That would kill that story.
Fair. See, LeMans, I don't understand how this story is supposed to unfold with Solo forcing someone into a group who clearly doesn't want to be there, doesn't scream a face group.
Well, we're seeing with a lot of different people, there's not, you don't necessarily have to fully be face, fully be heel. Because I would argue, is Seth Rollins a face or a heel right now?
Yes.
Or is he just Seth Rollins?
He's Seth Rollins.
He's a cocky dick who, when things are going well, he'll be a face. But if need be, he'll be heelish. It's the same thing with CM Punk right now, where he can have tendencies where he might be a little bit, you know, opportunistic, but overall, is he a face? Sure. But if need be, he'll hit someone with a belt shot.
So CM Punk was asked and talked about if he would be a heel, would it work? He's like, no, because the audience wouldn't boo him. There's a lot of people who in the WWE, they're just them, whether they're cheered, whether they're booed, they're just them.
You know what the perfect example of that was? Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
They tried to turn her. They tried to, like, oh, she attacked Charlotte. She did that. The fans cheered her. And then she cut a promo afterwards, you know, that next week, talking about why she did it. And she was trying to get booed, and the fans cheered her. And so she just decided, well, I guess we're rolling with this. And so the man, while she was a face, was still very cocky, very over the top. So that even when they did want to turn her more heel-ish, it didn't take a lot. You just turned it up a bit more. You made her more over the top. just like Seth.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the Bloodline, I think they get cheered. I mean, even tonight, like, when they came out, they got cheered. Everyone loves to do the yeets, but I wouldn't say they're a full-blown heel, full-blown face group. I think they're just the Bloodline. They're there.
They're just them.
Yeah. They're doing it for the family.
They work, which means people can work with anybody. And that's kind of, for the audience WWE has right now, like, buys the tickets, that's what they want. They want to cheer the people who are over, whether they're good guys or bad guys, they get into all the action.
Well, hell, someone made an appearance tonight, did a very heelish thing, and the fans went apeshit.
So Hunter talked about why aren't people in certain spots. It's because other people are over. And right now, the people who are in the spots they're in is because they're the ones who were over.
Getting reactions.
Get the reaction. You, good or bad, you're in that spot.
That's why, for some people, you can be really great wrestlers. You can be fantastic in the ring. Chad Gable, perfect example. Fantastic wrestler. Before El Grande, did he really have any form of connection with the audience?
He was booed, but I think that also played into Sammy being over babyface.
Yeah.
And Gunther and being over.
And when he was doing the stuff with, the Alpha Academy, when he was heelish, they were more cheering Otis than I think they were hating Chad. I think Chad was just there.
Right.
And then they start off with the Grande Americano, which the first couple of times he came out, and I can remember Lindsay, was not a big fan of that gimmick.
Still not.
Because, is it slightly racist, maybe? Possibly. But the thing with it is, they found an audience for it, both domestically and, I would say, weirdly enough, internationally.
Yes. So much so that the current El Grande Americano has been adopted by the culture.
Right. And it's, he has, the thing is, El Grande Americano, this thing that you would think would be despised in the country in which it is being participated in, is the number one babyface right now in that company.
I feel like, though, they tweaked it after it changed from Gable.
They did. I think they embraced the cheese of it a bit more.
Because they got away from it being a white guy trying to play luchador to it just being a straight, like, luchador gimmick. And
they went from a white guy to a white European playing a Mexican character.
I know. It's the irony of it all.
Europeans as his body men as well.
But it's also, they turned him face. And I think, or perhaps when he went to AAA, that just happened naturally, but he sort of went face. And then when they did El Grande versus El Grande, like, Kaiser was the face of that. And that's really what won people over, because you had the heel version, you had the face version, and obviously the face version was the more beloved of the two. And that's what got over. But I mean, I think it's a smart strategy by WWE to embrace the ideology that the people are going to cheer for who they're going to cheer for. And while they have some control over that, they don't have as much as they think. Because clearly, over the years, that has been proven time and time again.
Think about Randy Orton. He turned heel on Cody and got cheered. Yep. That just shows when WWE wants to go for a heel turn, doesn't always work because the fans don't want it. Even though the person's better as the heel, doesn't mean it will get over.
And I think with that, the smart thing is WWE doesn't try to fit the square peg into a round hole. Like, do they want Randy as a heel? Sure, because especially going into, like, WrestleMania, even I would say SummerSlam last year is a great example. You have a moment where John Cena has been your heel. It wasn't necessarily working that great.
No.
And if you watch Unreal, you realize that they realize it as well. But it's that moment where they were kind of like, okay, this is a chance where we can turn into the skid that the crowd is giving us. They don't want John as a heel. They want Cody versus John. They want a bigger match at SummerSlam. Screw it. Let's make them face then. Let's have it just a face-to-face match. We'll run with it. See what comes from it. And it turned into a pretty damn good match in the end with those two.
It did. Like, I think that's just a change in the philosophy and the people running the company. Because in the past, we all know that it's like, if it's not working, well, we just push it harder until it works. Like, that's how it's always been in the past. It's like with Roman's face turn, essentially, or when they tried to put him over the first time and everybody just booed the shit out of him. It's like, if they'd turned him heel then and there, it could have turned into the skid, basically. It would have been a better use of the time than what they were trying to do. Sheamus is another great example. where they tried to make Sheamus the guy, and the fans rejected him because they wanted, I believe, Daniel Bryan at the time. You know, and now it's very much WWE sees the reactions, they're monitoring what they're hearing at the shows, they're reading what's happening on social media, and they're gauging that fan reaction, and they're using that to determine how they're going to book the product. And if it's not working, it's not working. And it's, we need to change the direction now, or it's gonna, or it's just gonna be disastrous for us. And I appreciate that they do that, because it's like, it just makes things easier to watch. Because sometimes some of the stuff they've done in the past, it's like, it's just painful. It's like, this is not going the way you think it is. Please, please, please stop it. And they don't. Now they do. You know, where we see that on Unreal, even though I still think it's all very slightly staged, that they're having those production meetings and they're seeing the reactions from the fans. And they're like, you know, Jay's, you know, an example would be Jay cooling off before WrestleMania. And it's, do we still want to proceed with Jay, or do we need to pivot?
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that I do appreciate. The man says they're not even capitalized on something when they do get reactions. I think it's the difference is, like, they're sitting there and they're watching, and they aren't going to, like, shotgun everything, right? Like, somebody gets over 1 week and it's a fad and it's a trend. It's like, the case in point is Jay. They watch that build. They watch that grow. They help nurture that. But it's like, is this a phase, or is this real? Do we really have something there? And they give it the room it needs to breathe to see if it's gonna work. And then if it does, they do embrace it.
Well, and also, like we've talked about, there's times when you can hotshot a title, capitalize on it, but you don't want to, every time, you know, you hear a fan reaction, it's like, ooh, we should absolutely capitalize on this and put the title on this person. Oh, okay, you do that, the title's jumping every 2 weeks, because there's times that fans will go, that's really cool, let's cheer that. Ooh, that's even cooler. And it's just like, yeah, but we also don't want to scrap four months worth of planning that we have in place just because, oh, they really cheered him in this one spot.
I mean, because by that logic, it's like Danhausen should be WWE champion right now, based on how over he is.
I love Danhausen. No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it would be funny for about 2 weeks, and then it would be, oh God, what have we done? But no, if someone gets over 1 week, you don't take them off TV the next week to see if it's real. That's not how that works, because that's not how demand works. It's, if you take them off TV, it's like, you could lose the push. So you keep putting them on TV, and you put them in different scenarios to see if it's real. Like, if they do a really cool move in a match and everybody's like, oh my God, that was fantastic, do it again. You put them in the match the next week to see if the reaction is the same or if it cools off. Because we are a fickle bunch, and we are easily entertained in some cases. And somebody can do something really stupid, and we just latch onto that shit. And we're good for like a couple weeks, and then we're like, okay, all right, we've moved on to the next thing. Like, we're very, in terms of an audience, we're a little difficult in that
category.
We're
fickle. The audience is fickle.
Yes, yep. We're very fickle.
Well, because also think about what happens to an audience when it doesn't go the way you want. It's, you'll have moments where people will go, okay, I'm willing to give this a chance. And then you have other moments where people go, this isn't what I want. I'm not cheering this at all, because I want exactly the way I planned it out in my head. That's not necessarily going to work, y'all.
No.
Anyway, next match.
Yep.
Wait, apparently somebody went to the hospital?
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have a feeling I know who that one is.
Yep. We'll talk about it.
We went on a tangent, guys. We went on a tangent. All right. Up next, in a singles match, we had Gunther taking on Nick Aldis in a singles match. This is really good.
This was a professional wrestler's wrestling match. That's what it was. Pro wrestling,
yep.
Bell to bell, no interference, no shenanigans, bell to bell wrestling.
They did what I wanted with Nick Aldis in terms of the wrestling component. They showcased him as someone who's been around. So Was he outmatched by Gunther at certain points? Yes, because Gunther is an active competitor. So is he going to probably be more apt to handling situations? Yes. But were there also moments where Nick is able to hold his own or get one over on Gunther? Absolutely. And it shows he's not just a suit on TV. He is actually a wrestler. And that's what I wanted out of that. I just wish they did a good job explaining it a bit. I just wish we had seen more on the actual show of, like, again, a package talking about him with TNA.
Yeah.
There was video footage on SmackDown, I believe.
But they could have replayed it at the show.
They could have, but they did air one with NWA and TNA footage on SmackDown last night. So it was out there.
And I will say, Cole did a really good job explaining the fact of, like, yes, he has fought Kurt Angle. He has fought The Undertaker. He has fought, you know, like, or not The Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, like, names that people know and go, oh, hey, wait a minute.
And that's the footage they showed. They showed him in with Kurt and Jeff last night and AJ. They showed that footage. So they made you go, he's a top tier player.
Yeah, he is a legit wrestler, not just, you know, a guy that was put into a match.
Right, and they booked the match like he is a wrestler. Did Gunther beat his ass? Yeah, they did. But he was able to wrestle Gunther. He was able to wrestle Gunther. Yeah,
but it's Gunther, so he beats a lot of people's asses.
Well, yeah, but at least he held his own. Like, Pat McAfee held his own, but this was better.
Yeah, I will say, I have never heard Wade Barrett's voice hit the level it did when he realized that Nick Aldis got Oasis to the ring.
Yeah.
He, as a Brit, was so ecstatic, and yet at the same time, I think, was incredibly jealous, because why the hell did I not get that when I was active?
We all know why, Wade. We all know why.
Yeah. But it was good to see that, and good to see, like, that connection that, like, Wade Barrett has with Aldis, and just, you know, yeah, the Brits stick together.
The Brits did stick together. He is still employed as the general manager of SmackDown after the show backstage. Hunter tore up the resignation letter that they signed, that he gave up his job, tore it up. He's back in business starting Friday.
Yay!
Go, Nick!
Which is good, because he doesn't, as we talked about, or as you talked about on Thursday and we talked about on Sunday, he doesn't need to be a full-time competitor. If he was, I think he honestly gets lost in the shuffle of all the regular main talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, after this match, we're all clamoring for Nick Aldis world champion here.
No.
No.
But it just means also, like, Raw, Adam Pearce runs the ship very differently. He has authoritativeness about him, but he doesn't want to get in the ring. And we saw that play out in terms of angles in the past. Aldis, on the other hand, is not worried about, well, if I have to get in the ring, you're going to learn what that means. So it might be one of those things where, like, if Cody gets mad and threatens to put a hand on Nick Aldis, Aldis might be able to go, do we need to go settle this? You know, I'll sign a waiver that says whatever happens, happens, but we'll settle this HR style in the WWE, at least.
Yeah. It's cool seeing Mickey and his son in the ring to celebrate after.
Yeah, well, she even got involved a little bit with Gunther taunting her as they're going around ringside.
Oh, of course.
You have to. I mean, you know.
Gunther was testing fate by going up against Mickey, because Mickey will chick kick his ass.
She'll go for the face. No questions asked. She will absolutely go for the face.
She ain't afraid of Ginny. She'll go for her. Or she'll go for him. It doesn't matter.
You know, honestly, between Mickey and Ginny, I'm putting my money on Mickey.
Look, Mickey survived a train, all right? Gunther means nothing.
Right? Right?
For Mickey, those of you who don't know, old style TNA callback.
Mickey got up, dusted her pants off, held out that hand, stopped that train one-handed, climbed off the tracks, and walked off. Hair perfect, makeup perfect, looking like a boss. That's how that went. She even did a little hair flip as she left.
We're idiots.
Look, I can entertain myself, or I can't.
Exactly.
Let me just casually rewrite history. It's fine. All right. Up next, we had Fatal Influence, JC Jane, Lainey Reed, and Fallon Henley taking on Team Total Bella, which was the Bella Twins and Paige.
Oh, it was Team Total Divas.
I'm sorry, Team Total Divas. Well, I mean, technically, I think Paige was on Total Bellas too.
No.
So it became Total Bellas from Divas. So, I mean, it's still technically correct.
I enjoyed this for what it was. It was a good six-woman tag. Unfortunately, about Brie, she took what was the... She was up against the steps, and she, what was the move? The flip?
She got thrown into the steps, which was a little rough to start. And then JC hit the cannonball.
Yeah, the cannonball. That's it.
Into Bree against the steps. And the second I saw that and the way Bree held her shoulder, I went, that's a dislocation right there. And because if you watched her for the rest of the match, her arm was pinned to her side
the entire time. So yes, she was evaluated at the building. She has gone to the hospital. In Hunter's words, she's injured and it looked bad.
She's, depending on the style of dislocation, she's out probably 3 months at least.
Which is unfortunate because, for what happened after the match.
Yeah, because you have to pop it back in and you have to let those muscles retighten and then you can start to rehab it.
Yeah, so
she doesn't need surgery.
Yeah.
If any of those muscles tore, that's a much bigger deal. If it was just it dislocated, they can pop it back in, and then you can just let it heal. That's a much better prognosis.
Because Liv was dislocated. I think Liv was dislocated, right?
Liv's was dislocated. I don't think she tore anything.
And it took her like 3 months to get back, 4 months, something like that. But yeah, so after the match, the Bellas lost. And then Bella's turn on Paige.
I don't think anybody was surprised by that.
For
the second Nikki was coming back.
Nikki did it because Paige took her spot.
Rejoined it because it's her sister.
It's her sister.
My only issue with that is Nikki and Brie asked her to take the spot. It's not like Nikki could have just come back.
Look.
She was injured. Like, that's what doesn't make any sense. It's like, wait, you asked Paige to do this for you. Because Paige wasn't even supposed to be there. She rolled up. She's like, yeah, sure, I got you, fam. And, like, carried the titles with Brie. They didn't include Nikki. Like, Nikki was always a part of it, if she wanted to be. So it's like, you guys were always inclusive. Like, I don't understand, like, you know, why Nikki's mad. It's fine.
Do you want the wrestling logic version, or do you want the real logic version?
Hit me with the real logic version.
So Nikki is okay, or Nikki offered the spot to Paige to start. What could have happened was two things. One, Paige could have said, no, I'm just warming it up for you. When you come back, it's all yours. And maybe that was not the way it happened. Maybe it was Nikki's like, I'm ready to come back. And it's like, but we're the champions, so let's ride this out. And then they lose the championships and it's all downhill from there. Two, the wrestling logic version is you lost the titles, which should have been mine anyway, so you're our problem.
I was gonna add more to that. Jealousy. She was jealous that Paige got over with her sister, and people were talking about them, not her.
The fact of you took my title shot.
She was jealous.
We won the fact to challenge for it. And then you just step in and take it over. Even though it was asked, it's still a matter of that was mine, technically. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying that's the logic.
They'll figure it out. We'll see how they tell the story. I will say this in terms of a heel turn. Nikki, I think, is the stronger heel than Brie. So,
and Nikki wanted to be. Nikki wants to be heel. So
Nikki wants that. Yeah, Nikki's a better heel. So if Nikki and Paige feud from here while Brie recovers, I think that's perfectly acceptable and fine because you can have Paige be the babyface and you can have Nikki be the heel.
Oh, I have a feeling I knew. I think we all know where this was going to go, though. And it sucks that they probably get delayed now.
What?
Well, it's the Bella twin. She needed a favor. Paige needs a partner.
And if Paige is the anti-diva.
Who are you going to call?
Lindsay?
Let's light it up.
Would you light it up?
I mean, technically, you still could.
At some point, yes, it'll be, but it's probably now going to be delayed. You run back the WrestleMania match. I think that would have gone over.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you held like you did Nikki and Brie versus Paige and AJ at Mania, because if Brie's out, 3-4 months, that puts her end of year. So even Rumble.
Yeah. Again, I do other things before Mania. I'm not going to go there now. But yeah, Brie is hurt, and we'll find out how bad it is probably over the week.
Good job, Brent.
You're welcome. I mean, it is the biggest party of the summer. I might as well make sure I'm involved.
Wait, do we have to hit the sounder?
Not tonight.
Okay.
Let's see. Rock would have to find the sounder right now.
And the sound wasn't working going through Discord, so we're just gonna...
Yeah. And last but not least, for the undisputed WWE Championship, we have CM Punk challenging Cody Rhodes in a regular match.
Which is funny, because on the fucking chairs, it said Street Fight.
Oops.
That's tremendous. One, good to Cody, but one, props to CM Punk for his callback colors to Cody Rhodes' debut in WWE.
Yeah.
So the Minnesota North Stars.
It's the Minnesota North Stars, but like, that's a real tribute. If you remember, Cody's first gear was that same green and gold.
I was going to say, we saw it at WrestleMania on one of the Codykins.
Yeah. So I was like, nice callback, even if it was unintentional. It was the first thing I thought of when I saw it. But Cody was in his big old Street Fighter gear, the helmet and the hair.
I hated that helmet.
I saw the movie.
I was going to say, the one thing I will give credit for with Street Fighter is they are fully 100% embracing the video game nature of Street Fighter.
I mean, you can't play it serious or straight. Like, you can't.
They kind of tried to in the 90s. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jean-Claude Van Damme was still very corny, and so was Raul Julia, but for the most part, they tried to make a legit action movie as opposed to a video game movie.
Raul Julia was the best thing in that movie, and I will not be taking criticism.
Oh no, he absolutely is, and he 100% did that movie for his kids, so even better dad. But like, I think they learned from their mistake before, and now when you look at this, it's just like, yeah, we're 100% gonna pull, turn up the cheese factor.
The match was clunky a little, but it was good. There's a couple miscues. Punk's moonsault. That was,
as Michael Cole would say, he didn't get all of it.
He didn't get all of it.
Or any of it. You know, he reminded me of the Bam Bam Bigelow moonsault. Because, like, Vader can do the full rotation. Bam Bam always did kind of like a half lean around the side and almost like a corkscrew.
Yeah, there were times he would do the twisting. It was like a twisting moonsault.
And that's what Phil pulled out tonight.
I mean, when was the last time Phil did a moonsault?
I don't remember.
I was going to say, when's the last time Phil came off the top rope with not a double axe handle or the elbow?
That's the point.
Been a minute.
And when he went through the table with his feet first, that was like, oh.
Yeah, that was a little scary. When he was laying there, I was like, he may legit have a knee injury now.
But out of nowhere, we had an RKO.
Randy, you cheeky bitch with the wink. You absolute cheeky asshole. Which, as we talked about, shows that Randy Orton is not a full heel, not a full face. He's just Randy fucking Orton.
Pretty much. Like, at this point, Randy is just Randy, and he can just get away with anything. I am convinced of this. After years and years and years of getting to this point, Randy's like, I'm just gonna do whatever the fuck I want. He's like Ron from Community. He just has a note that says, I can do what I want. Signed Randy.
Parks and Rec.
Where he has the note that he's just like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, it's just one of those things of, yeah, he can just slide in, hit the RKO, and he's like, all right, cool. Randy came off of summer vacation. That's where he's been this whole time. Might he have been healing his back? Sure. But at the same time, we all know Randy goes away for the summers, and then usually around the holidays, Randy disappears or comes back again. He's the new WWE Santa. Just like Taker was during WrestleMania season.
They just showed it on SportsCenter, Randy doing the wink after the RKO. Yeah,
I love it. Great. He knows exactly where hard camera is. He knows the camera is on him fully. And he's just, wink, and then pieces out. God damn it.
But yeah, that's how you get Randy and Cody into a program where you can talk about history now.
Yeah, you continue it on. Randy is going to settle his issues with Cody before he goes for number 16.
15?
15, I bet.
And Punk will go after Finn or Sammy next, and then you figure out from there.
Punk has a lot more of the roster to be able to work with, because he hasn't been on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And more than anything, as we talked about on both of our shows, it gets Cody out of the title picture, which he really kind of needs right now.
Yeah.
I get that he's QB1, but there's times in which, you need to let the wide receivers and running backs and the defense take over for games. You can't win everything on your own.
Well, again, going back to them watching the metrics and the reactions and everything else, I think they understand that because, you know, Randy getting cheered when he took out Cody was like the first clue. And then they scrambled trying to make get Randy booed. And that's how we got Pat McAfee in the mix. Like, yeah. It'll work. This'll make it happen. But I think they're seeing the fatigue on Cody. And so, yeah, it's they have to set it up because I think they had this all set up to go to SummerSlam. And it's like, well, I shouldn't say they can't. It's they aren't going to pivot in this instance. It's like, we're going to get Cody through to SummerSlam and then we're going to make that turn. And we're going to take him out of the title picture for a minute because it's boring. It's not exciting. Like we've talked about this before. If Cody has a title every 5 minutes where he loses it for like a month and then he gets it back, it's not interesting. It's not entertaining. It's just you're giving him the title for the sake of him having the title. And the magic of him having the title is that he earned it the first time. Like he had to have that tough road, those hard times to get the title, and now it's just handed to him because he's the face of Wheatley Vodka. He's in a commercial. He has his own bus. You know, it's
podcast. His
yeah, like he's being. They strapped the rocket to him, and now he's in orbit. And good for him. He's earned it. Like he should get the bag. But it's like he's. We talked about it a little bit on Thursday, where it's like he's kind of hitting that echelon that John Cena was at. He's not there, but he's sort of on the cusp of it. And there's going to be fatigue that comes with that. And the problem with Cena is they never recognize that fatigue. And that's why people started booing him and started chanting Cena sucks, is people were tired of him. Because it's LOL, Cena wins. He never loses. He always has the title. You know, it's just he's the guy on top. Cody's kind of going that same direction. And it's like, if he's always the guy on top, if he always wins, then why is he interesting? Why should I cheer for him? What makes characters interesting is when they're vulnerable, when they suffer a little bit, and when they win. Like, there has to be a balance. And Cody has been out of balance for a while now.
Because they never showed his struggle when he first lost the title. And that's where if they let him on TV and showed struggle for a while before he got it back from John Cena, then you could have done something. But they didn't show the struggle. He just disappeared and went, title.
Yeah. Well, part of that, too, I think could have been, and it would have been helpful if somebody else had shown up during that and decided not to, where you have John Cena using his powers essentially for evil and abusing them and have him like really putting the steel to Cody and like making him suffer and very much like just have an abuse of power there. That would have helped. Like that was the thing with Cena, was like they were gonna turn him heel and then they did a really, really weird, he blamed the fans and we're not gonna get into it, but like had Dwayne been there and like Cena had Dwayne's backing, Cena could have been like, well, I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to stop me. And he outranks everybody here, including Hunter. So I get to do whatever the fuck I want, which means I get to make your life hell. And Dwayne and Cody have history. So Dwayne's like, I'm not necessarily interested in fighting you right now. So he's going to do it for me. And he's going to make your life hell for me. And I'm going to tell him exactly what I want to see. But that's not what we got. We got what we got, which is fine. But it could have been better.
Ultimately, it worked out in the end. It just could have been it could have been Avengers Endgame instead of Captain America Brave New World.
Yeah. But on that note, I think we're done. Any closing thoughts or final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I enjoyed night one.
Go ahead, Rock.
I enjoyed night one. That's my thoughts. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those, like, if this is your number two show, which SummerSlam has kind of become on the WWE calendar, I think it was a really good night one, and it's setting up night two to be really interesting in terms of this, as was said Thursday, this was kind of spectacle night where you had a lot of shiny stuff. Tomorrow you're going to get a lot of wrestling.
Indeed.
And, I will just tell you all right now, it is a very surprising thing happening in first place in our pick 'em.
I was going to ask, do we need to do a halfway housekeeping, or are you going to do the finalization tomorrow?
Mark, do you want preliminaries?
Just tell me who's in first.
There is one picker that is currently 6-0, a perfect record.
Damn.
For SummerSlam. And please notice how I said that. A picker, not a person.
Oh no.
The Wheel is in first place.
Oh god, we're losing to the Wheel.
The Wheel is in first. Rock and I and Tommy are in second, missing only one match on night one. But we have some ground to make up. Because we're losing to an inanimate object. The 8-Ball, on the other hand, Lindsay's new nemesis in the world. 1-5.
I just need it to behave itself when I'm doing pick'em. That's what I need. It can be an asshole to everybody else. I just need it to work for me.
So that's where we're at right now, going into, you know, leaving night one, going into night two. The Wheel is batting 1,000, and there is 3 of us, 1 pick away, hoping to make up ground with tomorrow.
But that'll do it for the Rack Live. We're here to Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night. It's WTR, Sunday, Russell Talk Radio. When SummerSlam ends, they better be ready, because we're going live when it ends. Which means Tim is going to try to stall, but we'll be live when it ends. Tomorrow night, for WTR Sunday, reviewing SummerSlam. Monday night's Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk about it on the Rack is Live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, talk about SummerSlam Night 2, and CBR returns next Saturday in its normal time slot, which would be, as of this live airing, in 45 minutes. That Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com is the Wild Talk Radio Network. That Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rack Radio Show. That Wild. It's chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use QR code RocketSock or
Lynn's M Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Spooderman and more. Why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LynnsWard0. And Brent, where can they find you?
You can find me on various social media at either KaneKittens or Kane.Kittens. So, or you can find me in Fortnite trying to find damn sprites right now. Just don't find me right now.
Stream
He's busy. What is the sprite count real quick? Have you found anything rare?
I have not found anything worth a damn so far in the evening runs. I am still at 101, I think, out of 109.
Okay. And while you're liking and subscribing, go check out Matt's channel, lindsaydunkyoutube.com/mdg1211. So for Rock and Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you on Thursday for SummerSlam Night 2. Till then, bye.
Don't wait, I want you right now. All day, sun up to sundown.
Always loud so you know it's me. Standing in the crowd but you notice me. In your hearts where I hope to be, and right next to you is where I'm supposed to be.
WildTalkRadio.com.